Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Theory of Justice by John Rawls is a landmark work of political philosophy first published in 1971 and later revised to clarify key arguments. It belongs to the tradition of normative political theory rather than fiction or narrative nonfiction, and its purpose is to explain what a fair social order should look like. Rawls develops a model of justice as fairness by asking readers to imagine free and rational people choosing principles of justice from an original position behind a veil of ignorance. This thought experiment is designed to remove personal advantage and force impartial reasoning about rights, liberties, and social cooperation. The book directly challenges utilitarian approaches that treat overall welfare as the main standard of justice. Instead, Rawls argues that institutions must protect equal basic liberties and arrange inequalities so they work to the benefit of the least advantaged. Because of its rigor and influence, the book remains essential for students of philosophy, law, political theory, and social policy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, justice as fairness as an alternative to utilitarian social philosophy. Rawls's central contribution is his rejection of the idea that a society is just simply because it maximizes total welfare. In utilitarian thinking, losses suffered by some individuals can be justified if the overall outcome is better for the majority. Rawls argues that this approach ignores the separateness of persons and allows basic rights to be traded away too easily. His alternative is justice as fairness, a framework that treats each person as morally important in their own right. This shift changes the standard of evaluation from aggregate benefit to fair terms of social cooperation. Institutions are not judged only by how much they produce, but by whether they distribute rights, duties, and opportunities in a way that free and equal citizens could reasonably accept. That makes the book a foundational critique of consequentialist policy thinking and one of the most influential defenses of liberal egalitarianism in modern philosophy. Secondly, the original position and veil of ignorance as a test of impartiality. One of the book's most famous ideas is the original position, a hypothetical decision setting in which people choose principles of justice without knowing their own social class, talents, religion, gender, or place in society. Rawls uses the veil of ignorance to block strategic self-interest and encourage fair judgment. The purpose is not to describe an actual historical event, but to model what rational people would agree to if they had no way to rig the rules for themselves. This device gives the theory much of its force because it converts abstract fairness into a practical method of reasoning. If a rule would seem acceptable when you do not know whether you will be rich or poor, powerful or vulnerable, then that rule has a stronger claim to fairness. The thought experiment is also a way of making moral equality politically relevant, since it asks readers to design institutions as if they might occupy any position within them. Thirdly, two principles of justice and the priority of basic liberties. Rawls argues that rational parties in the original position would choose two principles of justice. The first secures equal basic liberties for all, including freedoms of thought, conscience, political participation, and personal integrity. The second governs social and economic inequalities, allowing them only when they are attached to positions open to all under fair equality of opportunity and when they benefit the least advantaged. The structure matters as much as the content liberties come first and cannot be sacrificed for greater economic efficiency. This priority gives the book its liberal character and marks a strong limit on what governments may do, even in the name of social improvement. Rawls is not simply advocating redistribution. He is defining a hierarchy of moral claims. Basic freedoms are treated as non-negotiable, while economic arrangements are assessed by whether they serve fair cooperation. The result is a principled account of how equality and liberty can be combined without reducing one to the other. Fourthly, the difference principle and the moral handling of inequality. Rawls does not deny that inequality will exist in any realistic society. His argument is that inequalities become acceptable only under strict conditions. The difference principle says that social and economic advantages are justified only when they improve the position of the least advantaged members of society. This is one of the book's most distinctive ideas, because it rejects both laissez-faire indifference and simple equal division. Rawls is concerned with the moral basis of distributive outcomes, not with punishing success or flattening every difference. He recognizes that incentives, talent, and institutional roles may produce unequal rewards, but he insists that those rewards must be defensible from the standpoint of fairness. This principle has had major influence on debates over taxation, education, welfare, and opportunity. It offers a way to evaluate policy by asking whether inequality is serving a broader social purpose or merely preserving privilege. In that sense, the book makes inequality itself a subject of moral justification rather than a natural fact to be accepted without scrutiny. Lastly, why the revised edition matters for law, politics, and public reasoning. The revised edition of A Theory of Justice is important because Rawls clarified several arguments in response to decades of criticism and discussion. He refined parts of the theory related to liberty and primary social goods, making the framework more coherent and easier to apply. This matters because the book is not only a philosophical text, but also a reference point for legal theory, constitutional thought, and debates about institutional design. Its influence extends beyond academic ethics because it offers a vocabulary for judging fairness in public systems such as courts, schools, and welfare structures. At the same time, the book is demanding its abstract structure requires careful reading. And some critics question whether the original position is too idealized to guide real policy directly. Even so, its endurance shows why it stands apart from many works in political philosophy. It is both a rigorous theory and a practical standard of criticism, making readers think not only about what justice is, but about how public institutions should be built and defended. In conclusion, A Theory of Justice is best suited for readers who want a serious, systematic account of fairness in political life. Students of philosophy, political science, law, public policy, and ethics will find it especially valuable, but it also rewards general readers who want to understand the moral foundations of liberal democracy. The book is useful intellectually because it offers a method for thinking about rights, equality, and inequality without reducing justice to popularity, tradition, or economic efficiency. Its practical value lies in the way it clarifies how institutions can be judged by standards that protect the vulnerable while respecting individual liberty. What makes it stand out from similar books is the combination of abstract rigor and lasting political influence. Rawls does not merely criticize injustice. He provides a structured framework for imagining fair rules from an impartial standpoint. Few works in modern political philosophy have shaped so many debates about rights, redistribution, opportunity, and constitutional order. Even readers who disagree with Rawls gain from engaging with the book because it sets a benchmark for arguments about justice that later theories must confront. If you would like to support John Rawls, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.